guys, welcome back to the JLR Equestrian Podcast with your host, Jordan Risky. And if this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome. And if it's your second or whatever, how many times you've watched this podcast, welcome back. And it's great to have you guys back. A little life update. 2 weekends ago, Mr. Big Man Liam, MM Irish Clover, went to his first training level event at Rocking Horse and was an absolute star. We got a 28.3 in dressage, and then we had a good show jump and then a double clear cross country, and he was an absolute beast out there. So we finished our first training together, his first training ever, so that was super duper exciting, and that was his last show for the season. So we can't wait to get back going at the end of January. But that was a little update on how the horses have been going. So as we get started, I kind of wanted to talk to you guys, since we're wrapping up the year and everything. Let's go over my year and some lessons I've learned, and I'll take you through the topic of the lesson, and then a little story behind it, and then kind of what I've learned from it and how it's helped me get to where I am today. So let's get started. Alrighty, so let's get started. One of the first lessons I want to talk about is having the ability to come over mental battles. So, as many of you know, I went through cancer this past year, and one of the things that I had to do was radiation. And so, with radiation, I had to lay on a table and lay back down with my head facing up and had my head in a cushion and then a mask placed over my head, and then it was bolted down to the table. So I was basically strapped onto the table and I couldn't move because the mask was skin tight, and it was tight. So if you're claustrophobic, it's a real tough thing to go through. But with that, it leads me into my little story. So there are many times throughout my treatments where I had to lay on the bed, and every week since I was, while I was doing radiation, I was also doing chemo. Every Monday was my chemo day. So I had to get my blood drawn and then go down to radiation, get my radiation treatment done. That took about 10-15 minutes overall, and then go back up and get my chemo treatments done. So after about getting into week 2-3 of that cycle, my body started realizing that every time we went to the hospital and would go in the room to get my blood drawn, he would kind of know what's going to happen, and you would start to not feel so good. So I think it was probably week 3. My body started really, really rejecting stuff. And it was nope, I know what's going to happen. I don't like this. And so week 3, I went in and I felt sick a little bit. And so I had asked the doctors, I was I don't feel so good. Can I do my radiation first and then do my blood draw so then I don't get sick or anything? And they're like, yeah, that's fine. So I get through it. It wasn't as bad as I was thought. I had to talk myself through it and everything. And then we fast forward to the next week, week 4. I get into the hospital and I was like, I do not feel good. That morning, getting ready to leave my house, I was like, I do not feel good. I gotta eat something because I'm not gonna eat while I'm there or anything. So I was like, okay, I need to we need to go. We gotta go. We gotta get to the hospital. We gotta go do this. And so we get there and I was like, is there any possible way that before we do the blood draw, I go and do my radiation? They're like, no, we don't have time to do that. You got to do the blood draw, go do your radiation, and then come back up here. So then we can check your labs and everything and then get you going. I was like, oh no. Okay. So I get in the room. They have little waiting rooms that you go in to get your blood drawn, separate from everything else. And so we go and sit down in there, and she starts cleaning my port, because I had a port in my chest, so she just had to, like, poke it with a needle right there, which was super easy, so, like, she didn't have to go through my arm every single time. So that was super easy. But they clean it with, like, rubbing alcohol, and then they have to put in, I think it's, like, heparin, I believe. They put something in it, and then they put the saline solution, and then they draw the blood, and then they do the same thing again. Like, thinking about this just makes me sick. Whatever. So, I'm sitting there, she's cleaning, and I'm like, man, I do not feel good. I do not feel good at all. I was like, you know, I think I'm gonna puke. And so she starts, like, coming over with the needle. I was like, I'm sick. I'm sick. And so we quickly access the port, put the stuff in, draw the blood, whatever. The port is accessed, so we're ready to go. And she walks away, and I get sick. I start puking. It was awful. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't even want to do this. So then she's like, okay, well, now you got to go do your radiation, and then we'll wait for the labs to come back, and we'll see where we're at. I was like, oh, that's great. You know, she gave me a puking tray. I was like, this is lovely. This is awesome. I get to go down, lay on my back with a mouth guard in my mouth that's, like, holding my mouth open, and, like, the mouth guard also held my tongue, like, up, I believe. So, like, I couldn't swallow. No, it held it down. So, like, I couldn't swallow while I was laying on my back. So, that was even worse. I had to learn how to just lay there and breathe. But I get down there and I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to last. I am strapped to this table. I can't talk because, like I said, I had a mouth guard in my mouth. So, like, I'm freaking out. Like, what if I'm, like, laying there on the table and I have to puke? It's not going anywhere. If I puke, it's literally going to hit the mask and go back down my throat, and then I'm going to, like, horrible situation there. So I tell him, I was like, you know, I don't really feel too good. Like, what happens, like, if I, like, can't do this? And they're like, oh, well, like, normally you could say something. I was like, well, I got, like, the mouth guard in my mouth, so that's not really, well, you can wave your hands. Like, we have cameras watching. I was like, oh, well, that makes me feel real good, because you got a door that you have to open and close every time you come in and out. And that thing doesn't open and close real quick. So then I was like, oh dear. Okay. So I'm laying there. They strap me in and I'm like, okay. Jordan, you got to breathe, woman. So I first sit there and I'm like, generally I can lay there and, like, just, like, take a deep breath. Like, breathe in for two and breathe out for two. And that normally calms me down. So I started doing that, and I was like, I'm not calm. This is not calming me down enough. So I'm dead serious when I say I didn't know what to do, because all I could think of was puking. So I'm laying there, I'm breathing, trying to breathe, not really being that successful at the moment. And so I'm like, okay, Jordan, you can do this. You can do this. It's only like 3 minutes of your lifetime. 3 minutes in your whole entire lifetime. Because I like to say that to myself, like, even when I'm working out and you're doing, like, a plank, and you're doing, like, a 30-second plank, and it's, like, the death of you, I just pep talk myself. I'm like, okay, Jordan, this is just only, like, a portion, a teensy tiny portion of your life. So suck it up, you'll be fine. So I'm, like, trying to pep talk myself like that, and it's not working. I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? I got to get through this. I might as well just flip and get through it as fast as I possibly can. I know, like, exactly how long it'll take while I'm laying here, like, the movements that the machine takes around me and how long it'll take after that. So then I was like, okay. I seriously was like, okay, Lord, I don't know what to do right now, but I'm just going to talk to you and I'm going to have a conversation with you. Because that's all I know I can do right now. Because you're the only one that's right here with me right now. And I just had a whole long conversation with the Lord. And he got me through it. And it was honestly the craziest thing. Because I don't think I've really ever done that before. And it was very, very, very helpful to get me through that time. But going forward, with my story, there is a place that this is going. Don't worry. But this whole situation, all in all, like, this happened multiple times throughout my whole chemo treatment. And then another story is as you start going through all your chemo treatments, when I first started, we had, like, little suites that we got to sit in, and they're like, oh, you can, like, order whatever food you want from the hospital, and you can eat it here, and, like, everything, like, your meal is free, it's on us, like, it's, like, perfect. I was like, oh, that's awesome. So, like, major mistake. I was like, oh, this sounds good. Why don't I get, like, my favorite freaking foods? So I, like, ordered, like, eggs for breakfast, French toast, burgers, mac and cheese, mashed potatoes, like, all the good stuff, you know? Good stuff. And then, after, like, 3 weeks of getting my treatments, I think it was, like, yeah, the third week, I was like, I can't do this anymore. I would literally think of the food that I ate in the hospital, and I couldn't even look at that food outside of the hospital. It was awful. Awful. Like, I tell you, I ordered mashed potatoes, like I said, and I had also ordered french fries. So after those, like, first 3-4 weeks of my treatments, I could not eat french fries, potatoes, eggs. Eggs were a really bad one for me as well. Mac and cheese. There are a few other things that I couldn't. They also put, like, a flour on top of the meal, like, to make it look all artsy. And if I saw that flower, that thing would make me, like, feel horrendous. But, like, it was horrible. So then, I couldn't eat those foods probably until, like, May, June of this year. And my treatment started in November of last year. So it was a while. It was a while. Like, I had to learn how to mentally be able to move on from that. But all of these different lessons and these different experiences that I went through really taught me how to give my mind the ability to block things out. You know, I had to learn how to be tough and to block things out. Like, when I was in the hospital, you know, there were multiple times when I would want to get sick. I would just think about something. I'd think about the hospital even. Think about a certain food or something like that nature, and it would just make me sick. So I had to learn, you know, like, I have to think about this stuff because it's, like, important. Like, I got to think about going to the hospital, what time I'm going to get there, how long my treatments is going to go. And even sometimes just thinking about that would get me sick. So I had to be able to think about things in a certain way and then be able to block it out and be like, no, like, I can't overthink this stuff. You know, it's important. I need to know it, but I can't overthink it. And so, it might sound a little confusing, but I'll relate it to my life right now. You know, before my chemo treatments and everything, before all my cancer, you know, your competitive riding life is really important. The most important thing is having the ability to block things out, especially in the competitive realm. Like, let's say you're doing a dressage test. You know, you're going down centerline in your dressage test, and there's, like, a horse across the field taking off, like, running away with the rider. You know, probably, like, I've been pretty good, but, like, a younger rider would get distracted and go and look over at that other horse going off and get distracted and not focus on what they're doing. But after everything that I've gone through, you know, I'm able to block that out and have, like, this tunnel vision going on and being able to focus just exactly what I'm doing in that moment and not what everything else and everyone around me is doing. You know, not only is that important in dressage, it's important in cross country and show jumping because you have to be focused on what your horse is doing every second, every moment. And you can't get caught up in everything outside of you and what you can't control. You know, you can only focus on the stuff that you have control on. And I think that's something that's so cool, you know. I think you need to be able to have experiences in your life where you're able to turn this bad stuff into good, positive things. You know, I think having the ability to block things out is a really good tool. But you just can't. I think it's really cool. Yeah. Alrighty. Lesson number two that I want to talk to you guys about is I learned how to love my body and be okay with my body image. Now, in today's day and age, you know, body image and seeing yourself in the mirror and what you look like is such a hard topic to talk about, especially in young girls and everything, you know, especially in the equestrian world, you know. You see all these people that on TikTok that talk about the egg diet, you know, just drinking iced coffee once a day and then maybe eating like one little tiny snack. And it's not really sustainable or healthy at all. And so it's basically starving yourself. And, you know, people think that that's okay to do and because they want to be skinny and that's how they want to win, you know, it's just messed up in the whole realm of that world. But, you know, when I began my treatments, a big thing that they made me do is I had to go on this steroid because the side effects from the chemo would cause lots of different issues like nausea, vomiting, whatever. Bad things, not fun things to deal with. So they put me on this steroid that would help with the side effects, which it did, and I'm very thankful for that. But what I didn't realize, and they didn't really tell me, is that this steroid would cause you to gain some weight. Now, like, maybe not like a little weight. Like, I mean like quite a bit of weight. And in my particular incident, in my particular situation, there we go, I had this like problem, like the steroid made me feel better. It took, like, the side effects away, but it left the side effect where, like, I still felt sick. But when I was on the steroid, if I continued to eat food, that feeling of being sick would go away. So I would constantly just nibble on something or continue eating because then I wouldn't feel sick. And my one friend, Paul, who went through chemo as well, he said the same thing. He was on a similar steroid that I was. And he's like, yeah, whatever it is in that steroid, it makes you feel sick. But whenever you eat, it takes that away. So then you just want to continue eating. And I was like, yeah, that's true. That's true. And like, I was happy because I was feeling pretty good. But after about like a month, month and a half into my treatments, I was not feeling too good about myself. You know, I gained some weight. And I gained it pretty fast. Like, within, like, the first month, I gained, like, 15, 20 pounds. And throughout the whole treatments, I think I gained 30 pounds. So it was pretty intense for me. You know, I'm not, like, small, but I'm also not, like, a large, large person. You know, I'm, like, pretty decent sized. And so for me, it was absolutely horrendous for me. Like, I had such a hard time because I really just didn't feel like myself. I didn't feel like I was comfortable in my skin anymore. I couldn't really wear any of the clothes that I liked anymore. Like, none of my jeans really fit. None of my cute clothes really fit. You know, pretty much it was just sweatshirts, sweatpants, big t-shirts, you know. That's what made me feel a little bit better about myself, but it was really tough. And there were times where, like, I couldn't even, like, look myself in the mirror because I was like, I don't know who this person is. Like, I know this is me and I know this is my body, but it doesn't look like me anymore and it doesn't feel like me anymore. Like, what happened? And then it was a constant up and down battle because I was like, you know, I can't do the things that I like anymore. You know, I gained this weight. And I couldn't really, like, work out because I was sick. But, like, when I wanted to work out, I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, I am now battling this out-of-shapeness with this weight gain. And it just made me feel even more worse about myself and everything. But during my treatments, I was really thankful to my mom, especially. She would constantly remind me that, like, your body is going through this tough time. It's fighting this cancer that you have. It's going through these chemo treatments. It's going through this radiation. And you're not giving it enough credit, you know. It's tough. you're basically injecting this poison into your body to fight this disease. And, you know, when I look at it that way, you know, it made me feel a little bit better about myself. Because I'm like, yeah, my body's doing good. My body, at that time, wasn't as sick as, like, they thought I was going to be. My body was doing a lot better than they thought it was going to be. You know, I gained some weight, but, you know, I was fighting it. I was doing pretty good. And so that would make me feel a little bit better. But I think, as I went through the treatments and everything, you know, I got a little bit better. You know, I was like, you know, I just got this mindset, you know, I don't like myself right now. I don't like what I look like right now. That sucks. But, you know, my treatments are almost done. I'm going to get through my treatments. I'm going to get cancer free. And then I'm going to focus on what I look like and everything. You know, my biggest concern right now is my health and getting through this treatment and the sickness itself, and not so much worrying about what other people think I look like or anything, you know, or what I judge myself as. So I think as I relate it to now, after I finished my treatments, the chemo created this, had a side effect called neuropathy, which is like a numbness, tingling, needle kind of feeling that can occur in your hands and feet. And so normally people get it like as they're going through the treatments, but I didn't get it until like a few weeks after all of my treatments ended. And I got it really bad in my feet. So because of that, it was really painful to like just even walk, let alone run or jump or any of that kind of stuff. And the only thing, like, riding wasn't that bad, which I was kind of surprised. But, like, walking was really painful and running. Like, I couldn't even run. Like, I love running, and I tried to go for a run the one day. But it was literally, like, knives were stabbing my feet. And so, again, I had to take a step back and be like, okay, my body's asking for some rest, so I'm going to give my body some rest. So I did like maybe some ab workouts every once in a while, but I was like, you know, my body just needs some rest. It needs to rest. It needs to rejuvenate. It needs to get back to normal. You know, my exercise, I can get on my horse and ride them around because that was a lot easier for me at the time. And as time went on, I got a little bit better. I was like, okay, my body got me through this. I'm starting to feel better. I'm getting some more energy back. And I'm starting to enjoy myself again. So then I was like, okay, now let's step it up a little bit. Let's start maybe doing like a little ab workout here and there. Or like maybe like a walk. Maybe like a little run every once in a while. But the running still wasn't able to be a thing yet. So then I started losing the weight off again. And I started to be like, okay, I feel like myself again, and I'm feeling better. And then this past fall, I was finally able to start running again, which was absolutely amazing. That wasn't just more for my body appearance, it was more for my mental health. Running really like is like a de-stressor for me, and it makes me feel really good. So I'm like, I just love running now. But again, sometimes my body doesn't want me to run, so then I have to take some rest and not run for a little bit, and that's okay. But I think this really made me realize, like, you can't just always be so pinned to yourself about what you look like. You can't be so up and down with, like, oh my gosh, like, I got some flab here, you know, I got a double chin, I look really huge right now, you know, like, yeah, it happens. It happens to all of us all the time, you know. We can't get so down on ourselves just for some minor things, you know. Your body's putting you through a lot of stuff. Your body, you get up in the morning, you know, at least for me, I get up in the morning, I clean stalls, I ride horses, I work all day, I work outside, and then let alone sometimes I still do exercises and workouts on top of that. And, you know, you got to give yourself credit. You be like, okay, body, you're doing great. I absolutely love this. And so that's kind of been my mentality ever since then. You know, there are times for sure, like, I get down on myself. I'm like, oh, I ate a lot of food today. You know, I don't feel too good. Like, then I kind of get down on myself, like, for what I look like. But I think it's a little bit of a give and take situation in that you have to be able to forgive yourself and be okay with not looking perfect 100% of the time. You know, if you look good 50, maybe 60, 75% of the time, that's awesome. If you feel like you only feel like 15%, that's completely fine. Don't worry. That is fine. You know, just find where you're happy. If you're happy walking around in sweatpants and sweatshirts, go for it. Do what makes you happy. And that's what really this is all coming down to, you know? We can't just base our opinions on ourselves based on what other people think. You know, if you want to wear a certain thing, wear it. If you want to go run a marathon or go run a race, go do it. Go have fun. Go do it for yourself. Don't base what you do and what you wear on what other people think of you and are expecting of you. Do it for yourself. So that's my second little lesson. Alrighty, guys. So the last topic that I kind of want to talk to you guys about is about centering ourselves. And so I learned a lot about that this year throughout all aspects of my life, whether it is mentally, physically, spiritually, you know, with my relationships with friends, family, significant others, you know, whatever it may be, and my horses, everything. And so let's get into it. So when we're thinking about centering ourselves, what exactly does that mean? You know, it means, for me, it means bringing yourself to a sense of calmness and, like, essentially, like, getting yourself into a calm state of mind. And so this past year has been, like, a game changer for me. You know, I think it was honestly such a blessing in disguise, what I had to go through, because it really made me look at my life and look at the things that were really, like, coming into my life that were influencing me day in and day out. And is that really what I want in my life? Do I want this going forward? Do I think that this is good, vital piece to the pie of my life? So when I look at what I did to improve my life, this year I listened to a lot of podcasts. I listened to mainly one called Whoa, That's Good by Sadie Robertson, and it was really, really good. I highly, highly, highly recommend it because she has many different interviews with so many different people that are in the spiritual realm with God and the Lord and everything, and they just bring so much light and so much, like, new ways of thinking about different things that is just so inspiring. Whenever you listen to it, you're sure to be inspired to go, like, listen and learn about that person and maybe go check out their book or whatever they do themselves. Another thing that I did, I have recently started listening to a few other podcasts. One is the Authentic Church podcast, which is, like, mainly sermons, but I listen to them when I'm cleaning stalls because they're very motivational for me and they really, like, help me, like, change my outlook on life and really get me back to my life and being like, okay, the Lord's in my life. This is my time with the Lord. Like, this is good for me. And then another one that I, like, really recently just started listening to is called Straight Up with Trent Shelton, who's, like, a ex-NFL player. And he's really motivational. He's also a believer of God and Jesus, and so he brings that into his motivational speeches, which is really cool. So those are some of my podcasts that I listen to, so if you guys want to check those out, go check those out. Another thing that I did to help center myself is I honestly haven't really ever been, like, a big reader. I have always dreaded reading, but I had bought a book called Live by Sadie Robertson. And I was like, you know, I really want to read this, but I just don't know. So My family ended up going on like a little vacation to Florida in January to kind of like calm down right before I started on my treatments, go to the beach and everything, and kind of just relax and be like, okay, let's take this break and then we'll come back and we'll start your treatments. And while I was down in Florida, I read the book called Live by Sadie Robertson, and it really opened my eyes to my relationship with the Lord and where I'm at in my life and the relationships in my life and where I stand with everything. And it was really like, okay, like this is where I'm at, this is where I want to be. So then I was like, okay, I want to start reading the Bible some, I want to start journaling, like this is what I want to start doing. And so that was a huge step for me. So then after reading that book, I actually started reading a couple other books. And so that's been like a really cool thing for me, because I think the books honestly help bring in a new perspective to different things. So that's really cool. Not only have I read books, I've also listened to some books. So then, like, again, when I'm cleaning stalls, which is a really good time to listen to different things, I can listen to the book, and that's a lot easier. As I said again before, I've been listening to church sermons. Those give me a lot of motivation and a lot of inspiration. I also went to church quite a few times this year. I don't know why, but I kind of like took a break from going to church for a little bit, and then going through my treatments, I really wanted to go and be able to put myself into a situation where I could really hear from the Lord and really absorb his words and his advice in that realm. And I was really thankful for that. And I actually went to church a few weeks ago down here in Florida, and it was a really great experience. And I was really thankful that I was like, okay, Jordan, you're gonna go do this. And so that's something that's been a really key part for me. And then I was able to hang out with like some good friends of mine, and we got to do some fun things. So that was really cool. But all in all, like this year, centering myself is so important. Like, I think the ability to put myself into a good mental spot can be something that's so challenging, and it has been so challenging. But I think a key factor for me when I'm looking at me, where I'm at in my life, I've got to like literally pep talk myself, and I need to learn how to be okay with where I am, what I'm doing, and it can be really hard at times. Like, you know, you might not be like in the perfect, most perfect shape that you want to be. You may not be running the fastest mile that you want to run. You might not be winning the shows that you want to win. You might not be where you're at in your training scale that you want to be. You know, whatever it may be, it's a hard thing to get to the certain mental spot that you want to get to. And that's something that I consistently have to work on. And so I think looking at your life and the different things that you're putting into you is like a key factor. You know, a big thing for me is like the type of music that I listen to. I have a wide range of music that I listen to, but for a while, I literally stopped listening to like rap music or like heavy stuff, because I could sense or really see a change in myself when I would listen to that, compared to like when I would listen to like more church type music or like Christian music or like my Spanish type music or country music. And then I'd go and listen to this rap stuff that was literally just awful. The lyrics are awful and like just shut you down. And so then I was like, okay, so I don't like how that music makes me feel. So I'm just gonna stick to my other solid music over here on the left and go with that. And I really saw a huge change in myself. I was really happy. I didn't get so like down on myself, which honestly, it sounds kind of crazy, but that was like a cool little like thing I went through with myself. And then another way to help me get into this mental spot is surrounding myself with the people that I want to surround myself with. You know, I want to be able to be surrounded by family and friends that are supportive for me, that really push me to be the best that I can be and help me to be ambitious towards my goals. I don't want to be around somebody who's like, oh my gosh, you want to go do that? That's fine. But like, don't forget about me. Don't forget about me. I'm over here. I'm not going to go with you. So don't forget about me. Like, don't do that. Like, don't try to make me feel bad for like going for my goals and my dreams. Like, don't do that. Like, I'm working really hard to be where I am. And just because you're not trying to like fix yourself up doesn't mean like I can't work towards what I want to do. So like, you got to look at those relationships in your life, and you want to make sure that these people help. So like I said, that they help you towards your ambitions. They help you stay determined towards your goals. They help you be resilient in your really hard times. You want to have them be positive. You don't want these negative Nellies in your life that just tear you down all the time. Like, oh my gosh, how are you doing that? No, we don't need that. We don't need that in our lives. They'll just bring you down all the time. All the time they'll just bring you down. So don't let those into your life. So I was able to really look at the relationships in my life and be able to be like, you know, I really like this friend. This friend is really good. Like, I was really lucky through my treatments. A lot of my mom's friends from Girls Night Out, her Girls Night Out friends, absolutely amazing ladies, absolutely love all of them. They would, like, rotate every week. They would come and bring us, like, a dinner for our family. So then, like, that night we wouldn't have to, like, worry about what we were going to eat or anything, and just kind of, like, calmed us down a little bit. And it was really nice because it was normally Monday nights, the nights that I had treatment. So it was really, really good. And then I was really thankful for them. And like, I'm like, I want them in my life. They're here supporting me through this tough time. Bring them in. Bring them in. Welcome them into my house. Like, that is great. And my other friend, Laura, absolutely love her. She's the bomb. Her and her family, she brought us dinner quite a few times, and she came and hung out with me quite a few times. Like, very inspirational. Or my friend Liz, she was great. You know, there's so many people in my life that like were so supportive during this time. And then I was like, okay, like my friend Courtney, she was great. You know, like, that's what I want in my life. I want to be able to have people that are so supportive, who want to help me get through things, but they're not just there for the good times. They're there for the really hard and dirty, really hard and dark times. So that's something that I find has been really, really helpful for me. And then if these people aren't the people that you want in your life, you know, you have to learn how to let those relationships go. How to say, okay, you know, like, I really enjoyed our time together, you know, like, we've been really good friends and we've been good together, but, you know, I have different goals and aspirations in my life than you do, and that's completely fine, but I'm going this way and you're going this way, so I think we need to take a break. You know, if we come back together later on down the road, that's fine, but right now I need to focus on what I'm doing, and I can't worry about trying to please you and trying to meet ends needs for you and your life when I'm working really hard to be where I am mentally, physically, emotionally, and like literally like with my horses and everything, while you're just over here sitting on your butt not doing anything. So I think that's something like you have to learn how to let go of things and being like, okay, this relationship has been really good for me and I'm really thankful for it. We've had great, super fun times and super great memories, but at my time and place right now in this world, it's not benefiting me anymore. It's hurting me more than it's benefiting me. And so for that reason, I need to take some time away for myself to get me back to the place that I want to be, back on track for me, and following my dreams and my aspirations for that, you know? And so just being okay with letting go of things. That's something that's really hard, but you have to learn how to do that.
If you guys want to keep up with what's going on in my life, you can definitely feel free to follow my Instagram at JLR_eventing. My Facebook page is Jordan Risky Eventing, and my TikTok is JLR_eventing, and that has my most up-to-date information and everything if you want to keep up with me. And I hope I get to talk to you guys soon, and I hope you guys have a God-blessed day. Thank you.